Once you find Matthew chapter 9, so Matthew being the first book of the New Testament, find chapter 9, verse 18, and if you would, please stand with me one last time for the reading of God's word. And I'm going to read you a story. I'm going to read you verses 18 through verse 26. I want you to follow along the best you can. Kids, sit still. Listen up real good. No talking, no running around. Don't go disappearing. Don't be bothering mom and dad in the middle of service. Let's make sure that we're paying attention so that I can get through this as quick as I can. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. If you look at me there, we're done with the scripture for reading, but we live in a society today in which Jesus is mentioned quite often. It's popular to use his name. I see, as I go out and pass out tracts throughout the week, I see signs that say, no soliciting. But then I see other signs that say, no soliciting, but we've accepted Jesus. And they're trying to mock the fact of people that knock on the door about Christ. Using his name in vain is of no concern. His name is most important, yet at the same time, most irrelevant. The name Jesus is most powerful, yet it's used most casually. But the name of Jesus is powerful, yet the presence of Jesus is even more powerful. Did you hear what I said? The name of Jesus is powerful. But the presence of Jesus is much more powerful. Our society is full of people who'll use the name of Jesus, but they'll refuse to let that same Jesus into their home. Amen. They don't mind using the name Jesus. Matter of fact, they don't mind using the name of Jesus in vain. But very few of them actually let Jesus in the house. So what my preaching this morning will be on is when Jesus is in the house. Father, help me now, I pray. Please be with the message in this short time. Please help me to get the point across. I pray that you'd help the truth to be heard and understood this morning. I pray that it be grasped. Lord, please work in my heart and work in the hearts of those in the pews. Thank you for all those that are here today. Lord, may they find grace, peace, and comfort today. May they find truth and hope for being in this place. If there's anybody here that does not know Christ as their Savior, please help them to know and understand that they are on their way to hell without you. And Lord Jesus, I pray that they trust you more today. Those that are pondering baptism and those that have already decided to be baptized today, I pray that you continue to work in their heart, seal their deal, help them to know and understand that this is your calling on them. I pray that you'd work now in the service. Please, in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. You may be seated. People today are bold enough to use the name of Jesus, and they'll even claim Jesus. I'll walk up to somebody and I'll say, can I give you this tract? And they say, no, thank you. I'm not interested. And I say, well, what aren't you interested in? You don't even know what I'm offering you. And they say, well, if you're offering Jesus, I've already found him. Well, if you've already accepted Christ and you've already found him, you wouldn't be turning me away. You would actually be very glad that I'm out here spreading the gospel of Jesus. You wouldn't want to walk away from me spreading the gospel of Jesus because you've already accepted him and you know the goodness of having him. So then why are you not interested in what I'm sharing? Their homes are godless. Their bodies are shameless. Their minds are thoughtless. And their lives are pointless. Those same people that use the name of Jesus and they'll claim him, but their homes are godless, their bodies are shameless, their minds are thoughtless, and their lives are pointless. Their home is simply a place in which to dwell instead of a family in which to rear, train, and prepare. Men and women have no commitment to one another. They have no marriage. They have no dedication. Their children are a burden to mom and dad, and rather than a cherished heritage of the Lord, their home is simply a place in which to dwell. But they'll claim Jesus. Their bodies are tools for money and pleasures rather than chosen vessels to be used with holy and divine purpose. Boys and girls give their most precious possessions in the most whimsical of manners. And I think you adults know what I'm talking about. As they grow into adults, their habits become traditions. They never learn to use their bodies for their designed and intended purposes. Their bodies are more tools for money and pleasure. Their minds are safe havens for personal desires and pleasures that Satan has filled them with. They don't think for themselves. Rather, they go with what's easy or popular. They fill their minds with uselessness and pointlessness and intentions rather than thinking on godly things and holy things. Their lives are simply seen as opportunities to fulfill their lusts and desires rather than using their lives for God's intended purpose. They never find peace. They never find joy or true fulfillment, but rather temporary peace, momentary joy, and empty fulfillment. These are homes that claim Jesus. They claim Christ, but yet Jesus is not allowed in the house. They don't mind saying that they believe in Jesus. They don't mind telling you that they've accepted him, but they leave him at the door when they walk in the house. What happens when Jesus gets in the home? These ways of thinking and forms of living are typical and not surprising when Jesus isn't welcome. You see, when Jesus is in the house, he makes all the difference. Here in the story, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus goes to a house. When Jesus is in the house, homes have godly intentions and purpose, not worldly intentions or purpose. When Jesus in the house, bodies are prepared for a spouse and given to one man or woman and are used in Christ-honoring manners. When Jesus is in the house, minds place God's thoughts and holy purpose before personal lusts and desires. When Jesus is in the house, lives are lived with purpose for Christ and his desires because he desires what's best for each of us. When Christ is in the house, something changes. When Jesus comes inside, the things that I used to do aren't done that way anymore. But see, we have people in our church pew here, we have people that are our neighbors, we have people in which we work with who do not mind claiming Jesus Christ. But they do mind letting him in the home. They want to accept Christ here, but they leave him at the door when it's time to go home. We're trained to believe and live in such a manner that we are our own boss and that we are our own God. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 tells us we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. There's got to be a time that you come into recognition that as you accepted Christ in your heart, you are no longer of yourself. You are bought with a price. And that price was paid on Calvary. That price was paid by an almighty God who shed his blood for you. And he said, if you'll accept me, I'll save you. But now you are bought with a price. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When Jesus comes, things change. So ask yourself now, by way of introduction, let's look at the passage and what happens real quickly. And I'm almost through. I'm doing it on purpose. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I was taking a point there, but I'm not going to do it. I want to go through what I have laid out here. Look at verse 18. We're talking about when Jesus is in the house. Look at verse 18. While he spake on these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. So the ruler knew where to go when he needed a great need rectified. Notice in verse 18 that the ruler had a problem. He had a situation. His daughter was dead, but he knew where to go. And that name was Jesus Christ. Look at verse 19 through 22. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So here the woman with an issue of blood is healed because of her faith. Here's two people in a row that knew where to go when they had a need. The ruler in verse 18 knew where to go when he needed his daughter revived. And the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment as he passed by on the way to the house where the daughter was dead. Are you following me so far? Now, verse 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's what? He came into the house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. Jesus walked in and the house was playing music. That word minstrels is flutists or playing an instrument. It was a somber rendition for the lost. Picture this now. The ruler came to Christ and said, My daughter is dead. If you'll just come with me, come to my house and revive her. I know you've got the power to do so. And Jesus said, I'll come. He starts to go. He gets to the house. And when he walks in the house, the scene of the house is they're sad. The scene of the house is they're playing sad music. They just lost a loved one. They're having a problem. It's a bad time right now. It's not a good time. If you knocked on the door, it wouldn't be a good time. But Jesus came in, and as they're playing the music, you've got to picture the fact, you've got to understand in your mind that Jesus is coming into an ugly situation. Jesus is walking into a moment that the daughter is dead. For a lack of better term, just say the house is dead. They're sad. They're not very happy. They're not living for Christ. They're not serving in a way. They're just there, and they're in a bad way. Okay, now. They lost the girl, was dead, no hope. You may see no hope today, and you may not have the abilities or the answers, but when Jesus is in the house, things change. So Jesus walks in. When Jesus is in the house, hope is found. When Jesus is in the house, purpose is found. When Jesus is in the house, truth is loved. Problems are solved. Scenarios are changed. Sceneries are changed. Parents are honored. Children are loved and reared. Days have meaning, not just duties. When Jesus is in the house, the hope that they had gone, the hope that was lost, was no longer there. He came in and made a difference. When you let Jesus in the house, he can make the difference. Amen. But the problem is, we accept him enough for salvation and then leave him at the door when we get home. So then we say, well, I tried the whole Jesus thing. No, you accepted him as Savior, but you did not accept him as Lord, and he did not untangle your web because you quit on him. You left him at the door. He wasn't allowed in the house. But when Jesus is in the house, he makes a difference. And some of you today know that you leave Jesus at the door when you get home. And he can't come in. And I can't talk about him, and I don't bring it up, and I don't talk about church, and I don't read my Bible, and I don't pray, but I'll use the name of Jesus. But when Jesus is in the house, that makes all the difference. The problem is homes want to use the name of Jesus, but they don't want to use the Jesus of the name. Did you hear me? They'll use the name of Jesus, but they won't use the Jesus of the name. They want him in here, but they don't want him for all the rest. God, I don't want you coming in messing up my life. I don't want to get saved because then I have to change. Then I can't live the same way that I used to live. Then I can't listen to the same things I used to listen to. Well, then I can't watch the same things in which I used to watch. I can't drink the same things in which I used to drink. And Jesus says, fine, take me at salvation and leave me at the door, but keep dealing with the problems that you've been dealing with because I'm not getting involved. But when you invite him in, you've got to let him in. You've got to let him in. Verse 24, actually, verse 23. They want to reference him, but they don't want to reverence him. They leave Christ on the tongue and at the door, and he's not welcomed in. People too afraid that Christ will get in their way of something sinful. Some just don't know any better. Verse 23, Jesus comes in the house, and in verse 24, he begins to make changes. And again, anytime Christ gets involved, he will make changes. Verse 24, look at it. Verse 24, he said unto them, give place. Here's what I put here. He said, move aside, let me in. Christ gets to the house in verse 24, and like a cop coming in, boom, watch out. I got something to do. Give place. Move. I'm coming in. So in verse 24, he says, give place. Let's see what I can do here. If you hire a personal trainer, let's say you hired a personal trainer. If you hire a personal trainer, you do that for the reasons of losing weight and getting stronger, right? What sense would it make if you hired a personal trainer and then say, no, I won't do that. No, I'm not going to do that exercise. No, I'm going to continue eating my cheeseburgers. I'm going to continue eating my pizza. No personal trainer. You work around what I want to do. What sense would that make? What sense would it make you hire somebody so that you can lose weight, you hire somebody so that you can get stronger, and then you refuse to do what you hired them to do? It would be mind-blowing, would it not? Now, why do we treat Christ differently? We accept Christ, but then when he wants to come in and start to make changes, we say, no, I won't do that. No, Mr. Personal Trainer, I don't like push-ups. They burn. No, Mr. Personal Trainer, I enjoy pizza, extra cheese, crust, 3 layers of pepperoni, and sprinkle some sausage on top. And the personal trainer says, what? You hired me to assist you in losing weight. And now you're not taking the advice in which I am professionally trained to give you. It wouldn't make sense, would it? But we do the same thing with Jesus Christ. We say, Jesus Christ, come in. But no, Jesus, don't change anything. No, Jesus, you can't have that. No, Jesus, I won't do this. No, Jesus, I want to continue to do what I've been doing. No, Jesus, no, Jesus, no, Jesus. Stay at the door, Jesus. I'll see you on my way to church. Stay right there at the door, God. I'll see you later. But when Jesus comes in the house, he makes a difference. In verse 24, the maid is not dead. There is hope here. I'm involved. He said, look at verse 24. He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead. Look, Jesus walked in and he said, listen, I know it looks bad. And I know it looks somber. And I know that you don't see hope right now. He said, but I'm coming in. And anytime I get involved, he said, I tell you what, things are going to change. And he said, she's not dead. Amen. Listen to me. He walked into a dead scenario and said, it's not as bad as you think it is. I know it doesn't look good. I know it doesn't feel real good. And I know you're not happy about it. But I'm here now. It's going to get better. I'm here now, and it's going to get better. When Jesus is in the house, it gets better. Someone may be here this morning and they don't see hope, but anytime Jesus comes in, he can fix it. Amen. He can fix it. But here's the secret. Let him in. Let him in. Don't leave him at the door. Let him in. If he wants to untangle the web, let him untangle the web. Don't just say, no, I'm good. No, you're not good. No, I'll be all right. No, you're not. Hey, the first step to cleaning up from an addiction is to admit you have a problem. Amen. And you can't get your situation fixed until you admit that it's a problem. Amen. And when you can admit that it's a problem and let Jesus work, then the change starts to begin. But here's what we do. We do our squats. And we get to about number 10, and it starts to burn.
No, I don't want to do that anymore. It hurts.
We do our push-ups. 1, 2. Oh, man, that burns. Oh, man, that hurts. 4. Whew, I'm out of breath. I can't do anymore. Jesus, go ahead. Anytime there's change, no pain, no gain. You can't get to the other end of the victory without going through a battle to achieve it. It's going to be hard because you messed it up. It got kind of ugly. It got pretty nasty. But don't worry, Jesus can fix it. But you got to let him in. You can't leave him at the door. You can't just use the name of Jesus and expect everything to go away. You have to use the Jesus of the name. And then it goes away. I hope it's making sense to you. Verse 24, they laughed at him. They doubted him. Haven't you doubted him before? I have. Haven't you ever doubted God before? Sarah doubted. She ended up having a baby. The Pharisees doubted. He ended up being the Savior that he said he was. Eve doubted. She doubted God's word. She ended up condemning herself to hell. And even these in this verse 24 doubted. They laughed him to scorn. Verse 25. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. But when they let him in, they surrendered to him. He came in and took the bull by the horns and fixed it. He took the bull by the horns and he fixed it. Jesus came in and he said, hey, you're alive and well now. Come with me. You're not dead anymore. You're not dead anymore. Hey, I know that you may have been in a bad way. Hey, I know things weren't comfortable. Hey, I know things were painful. And I know you didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow. And I know that you didn't have hope on the horizon. But when Jesus shows up, he changes everything. There is now a hope that I didn't have before. There is now somebody bigger and stronger than I am, more capable than I've ever been, and he can fix it. But the difference is letting him fix it. I know people today who've asked Jesus to fix their mess, but when they leave him at the door, they don't let him in, or they let him in one day and then kick him out the next. He starts to fix it, and it gets too intense, and they back off. It gets hard. I warned you it was going to get hard. I told you the day I led you to Christ, I said, things are going to change. It's going to get uglier before it gets better, but hang in there. I gave you that warning ahead of time. I told you before, trust me, I'll fix it, but it's going to be nasty. And then because it started to burn a little bit, and because it started to hurt a little bit, and because I just didn't want to go through it anymore, I didn't want to keep pushing, I didn't want to keep fighting, I just kind of backed off some. I hope you get re-energized and let Christ back in, because he can make the difference. But you got to let him in. You got to let him in. In verse 26, the house saw it through and through, and the testimony stood, and it was shared, and it gave hope to the next. When Jesus is in the house, things change for the better. This morning, we have believers in the house here that refuse to let Jesus in. They want the resolution, but they don't want the revolution. The revolution is the work that it takes necessary to get the resolution. They want the answer, but they don't want to burn to get it. They don't want to work. They don't want to work and get through it to get it. Let me give you 3 ways to let Jesus in the house, and I'm done. I'll be done in the next 3 minutes. 3 ways to let Jesus in the house. You want Jesus in the house? Do you want Jesus in the house? Do you want him to fix the mess? If you want him to fix the mess, here's how you do it. 3 ways. When he knocks, answer. I'm Jesus. I'm here to fix it. If you had a leak in plumbing and you called a plumber, would he have to fix it from the sidewalk? You'd probably let him in so that he could fix it. Hey, Mr. Drywall Guy, I want you to come in, and I've got this big old hole in my wall. But I tell you what, I want you to just work a miracle from the outside. If you just think on these things real good, cut me out a piece of drywall about yay big, and just kind of meditated in the place. That's foolish. If I've invited someone over to fix a problem, it would only make sense to let them in to fix it. It doesn't make sense when they knock at the door to act like you're not home. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses. They're here to fix a problem. So if Jesus shows up to fix it, answer the door. Answer the door. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear and open the door, I will sup with him. If he knocks, open the door. If Jesus is knocking on your door today, if you have kicked him out and put him on the sidewalk, let him back in. Let him back in. Number two, give him the authority to make the necessary changes. Hey, Mr. Plumber, I know that my bathtub is leaking. And I know that the pipes are inside of the wall. But I don't want you to bust up my wall to fix the pipe. Okay? I just kind of want you to do it telepathically, or maybe through a scope or something, or maybe you could just, you know, use a laser and fix it. No, boys and girls, if you have leaking plumbing inside of the wall, guess what's necessary to fix it? Knock down the wall. It's going to cause a mess. It's going to get messy, but it'll get cleaned up. Hey, if you call a plumber to fix the faucet, let him fix it. Let them do what it takes necessary to fix the problem. Why? Because you don't want to have the same problem again. So if Jesus knocks, let him in. If he's in, let him do what's necessary to fix it. Third thing is this, and I'm done. Give them the time. Give him the time he needs to get it straight. Give him the time he needs to get it straight. You can't rush a mechanic. He could cut corners if you want. You could stop here. Anybody ever take their car to the shop and say, I want you to fix my brakes. I want you to replace all four of my brakes. And then when he gets half of a brake put on, say, I got to go. I'll use it like this. What sense would that make? Your car's not going to work. It's not going to work the same way it did when you took it in. Give the man time to replace the brakes. If he knocks, answer. If you let them in, let them do what's necessary to fix the problem and give them the time to fix it. We live in a credit card world. We live in a microwave world. We want to swipe the credit card and have it. We want to punch that meal and put it 2 minutes in the microwave and be done with it. God doesn't work like that. Amen. Mechanics don't work like that. Plumbers don't work like that. If there's a root problem, anybody ever got a tree cut down and a stump removed? Takes time. You can't just vanish it away. There's got to be some work done to get rid of it. Your life is a mess. It's all tangled up. Let him fix it. But don't leave him at the door. Let him in the house. When Jesus is in the house, things change. When Jesus is in the house, hope is found. When Jesus is in the house, your old ways ain't the same anymore. Behold, all things are become new. But we leave him at the door. We say, Jesus, I'll use your name, and I'll tell other folks that I've trusted you. And I'll tell them I go to church on Sunday. I'll tell them as they come by, yeah, I got a Bible. I don't read it, but I got it. Yeah, I know the scriptures. I've heard them preached upon. I've never read them for myself, but I hear them. Okay. Well, now get Jesus in the house. Get Jesus in the house. Don't leave him on the sidewalk anymore. Don't leave Jesus in the parking lot when you leave church today. Take him with you. Take him with you in the car. Take him with you at the workplace. Take him with you at the house. At the house. Stop watching what you're watching. They ain't right. Stop listening to all the music that gets you bouncing. That ain't right. That's not Christ honoring. If it ain't Christ honoring, don't listen to it. Let Jesus in the house. Let Jesus in the house. Don't leave him at the door. He can't fix it. The mechanic can't fix it from the parking lot. The plumber can't fix it from the sidewalk. The electrician can't fix it from the car. He's got to come in, and you got to let him in the house. Let him in the house. Let him do what he needs to do to fix it. Give him time to fix it. Shall we all stand?